John chapter 5, there are several scriptures I want to read to you. They follow along the line that has been taken this past month. Today, it is the attempt of Satan to withhold from Jesus the things that are rightfully his. So we're going to read, since there is sufficient time, we'll read several passages. And please follow that all of these passages are good in this respect, that men are trying to bestow upon the Lord Jesus the things that are rightfully his, but every time man tries to do it, you will see the attempt of Satan to withhold from Christ the things that are rightfully his. So I'll read this first of all in chapter 5 to show you what the Father's overall plan is for his Son. John chapter 5, verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and greater works than these will he show him, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth the dead and giveth him life, even so the Son also giveth life to whom he will. For neither doth the Father judge any man, but he hath given all judgment unto the Son, that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father that sent him. Understand that this is the grand purpose of God, that all honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. And this is something that Satan exerts all his power to overturn. The truth of the Lord Jesus being honored as the Father is honored. And even those that supposedly are Bible-believing Christians refuse to acknowledge equally the honor of the Father and of the Son. But please notice, once again, the Father has determined that all men shall honor the Son even as they honor the Father. Now, let's look in John chapter 9. We're going to see some of the things in which Christ is to be honored. And notice what happens when the attempt to honor the Son is made by men. Let's see the counteraction by Satan. John chapter 9. You remember the man was born blind. The Savior put clay on his eyes, sent him to wash, and he came back and his eyes were opened. So, look at verse 9. They're wondering who he is. Is this not he that sat and begged? Others said, it is he. Others said, no, but he is like him. He said, I am he. They said therefore unto him, how then were thine eyes opened? He answered, the man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went away and washed, and I received my sight. Now, look at verse 17. They say therefore again unto the blind man, what do you say of him, in that he opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. Look at verse 22. The parents are asked, is this your son? And they say, we know it's our son, but how all these things happened to him, we know not. 22. These things said his parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews have agreed already that if any man should confess him to be Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Notice, the right of Jesus to be confessed as to who he is. And Satan has had a decree passed that if anybody confesses him to be who he is, the Messiah, he will be put out of the synagogue. God is determined to have him honored as the Messiah, the coming king. Satan is attempting to withhold this honor. That is rightfully Christ's. Now, let me show you how bold they are. Verse 24. So they called a second time the man that was blind and said unto him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. You see, all you have to do to give glory to God is to say that Jesus is a sinner. But I want us to take an exhortation from this man. Verse 25. He therefore answered, whether he is a sinner, I know not. One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. Verse 27. He answered and said, I told you even now, you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Would you also become his disciples? And they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. Look at verse 33. The blind man is saying, if Jesus, if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and finding him, he said, do you believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, and who is he, Lord, that I may believe on him? Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and he it is that speaketh unto thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Now, turn to chapter 12. Chapter 12, we've just seen the confession of the truth as to who he is. We saw what happened when that truth was confessed. Now, let's see what happens in chapter 12. The Savior is honored with a supper, and verse 3, Mary therefore took a pound of ointment of pure nard, very precious, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples that should betray him, said, why was not this ointment sold for 300 shillings and given to the poor? Now this he said, not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and having the bag, took away what was put therein. Jesus therefore said, allow her to keep it against the day of my burying. For the poor you have always with you, but me you have not always. And another passage in Luke 19. I will bring others to your attention, God willing, but now let's look at Luke 19. Our Savior is riding into Jerusalem upon that donkey, and verse 36, as he went, they spread their garments in the way. And as he was now drawing nigh, even at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works which they had seen, saying, blessed is the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said, I tell you, that if these shall hold their peace, the stones will cry out. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we're thankful that thou hast revealed to us truth from the Scripture. You know how men hate the truth, especially if it demeans them, if it shows them what they are. But you show us what man is. I was told us concerning some that even believed on Jesus, that your Son did not commit himself unto them, because He knew what was in man. I felt that we were ashamed to hear this testimony concerning ourselves, but we're glad that you told us. We know that it's true. And we desire, our Father, from the portions we've read today, to understand what we are, but in spite of what we are, what we should render unto thy Son, and then at the same time, see what will transpire if we attempt to give him those things that are rightfully his. So teach us, our Father, and give us that determination to give thy Son the honor, the place that you, his Father, would give him. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Notice, the message is the attempt of Satan to withhold from Jesus all things that are rightfully his. I've shown you in past weeks that whenever you've had a work of God, you have a work of Satan. Do you remember in Matthew 13? The sower went forth to sow, and some seed in the heart of man, the birds of the heaven came and snatched out those seed in the heart. The Lord Jesus goes and sows wheat in the world. His enemy comes and sows tares. Every attempt on the part of God to do something good is counteracted on the part of Satan to do something that is evil, to thwart, to overthrow the purposes of God. And this is the fourth Lord's Day. Now I've shown you just how active, how thoroughly engaged Satan is to defeat the purposes of God. But Christians will never believe that. They think somehow that Satan, after a while, after one apparent defeat, will give up and will not bother us anymore. He never ceases to trouble the people of God. He never ceases to destroy the souls of men. Never. You think he's gone, but he appears in various forms all along. And this is what God says in Ezekiel. It's a classic verse. God says, I will overturn it, and it shall be no more. And then it speaks about until he come whose right it is, and I will give it him. You see, one is coming whose right it is to receive every glory and honor that the Father wants to bestow upon him. But Satan is determined that he shall not receive that which is rightfully his. From the very beginning, as soon as the Lord Jesus came upon the scene and was being tempted, understand that the world and the universe are rightfully Christ's. And Satan said, do you see all the kingdoms of the world? He said, they are mine. He said, but I will give them to you if you will worship me. Well, that is a lie. Because God says in Psalm 2, ask of me and I will give thee the heathen and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. They are God's. And he is the one who raises up the basis of man, and he gives the kingdom to whom he will. And in past Lord's Day evening, we found this out. That Nebuchadnezzar did not believe it. And Pharaoh did not believe it. And Manasseh did not believe it. But they found out that God was he in whose hand their breath was and all their ways. And he was the one who determined all these things. But Satan says to the Lord Jesus, these things are mine and I will give them to you. He is claiming that he wants to be his. But it is not his. The one whose right it is, the one to whom all these things belong, is the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Hebrews chapter 1, he made him heir of all things. There was nothing that the Father has not bestowed upon his Son. It says concerning Isaac. Abraham has a son. His wife begat him a son in his old age, and he hath given him all that he hath. And this is a picture of the Son of God, the Son of the Father, and the Father has given him all that he has. Now the Lord Jesus, in his generosity, is going to share it with us. Heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, in his grace, says, "To him that overcometh, I will give to sit down with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and then sat down with my Father in his throne." That is the Lord Jesus. But what Satan is trying to do is to withhold from Christ all those things that are rightfully his. He whose right it is that the Father is determined to give him, Satan is determined to withhold from him. And sad to say that the purpose of God is not going to be completely realized. You say, why? Because God would have all men to be saved. But the Lord Jesus said, "You will not come unto me that you may be saved." And he weeps about it. But all men are not going to come. The Father draws. He wants all men to be saved. All men will not come. So the Lord Jesus weeps. Notice, the Father wants all men to be saved. Satan wants all men to be lost. So here is an attempt on the part of Satan to withhold from Christ those things that are rightfully his. All right. What I will do is begin to tell you now, in these three distinct areas, in John 9, in John 12, and in Luke 19, some specific things that are rightfully Christ that Satan attempts to withhold from Christ. And the first one in John 9 was this, a confession as to the truth of who he actually is. This was the question that Christ has asked not only those that are his friends, but also his enemies. He said to his disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Notice, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And whom do you say that I am?" So he's asking those that surround him, his disciples. "Do you know who men say that I am? Whom do you say that I am?" But also, the Lord Jesus was asking the Pharisees concerning the Messiah, "Whose son is he?" They say, "He's the son of David." He said, "But David in the Spirit called him Lord. How then is he his son?" The Lord Jesus asked his own and his enemies, "Who am I? Who do you say that I am?" And you get various answers. And what is so sad is this. If someone is sent my way and I have an opportunity to witness to him, I present the truth before him and say, "This is what God's word says concerning his son. Now, believe the word." What Satan says is this. You will not believe that Jesus is the Christ, because if you do confess him as the Christ, you will be excommunicated from the synagogue, and you will lose your friends, and you will lose your fortune. You will not confess that Jesus is the promised Messiah upon penalty of excommunication and loss of all things that are so important to you in this life. You see what he's trying to do? He is trying to withhold from Christ the true confession as to the person who came from heaven. He said to his disciples, "Whom do men say that I am?" And not one of them confessed it correctly. They said, "Why, he's Elijah. Why, he's John the Baptist. Why, he's Jeremiah. Why, he's one of the prophets." Wrong. All of those are complimentary things. Why, for me to be compared with those men, that would be a compliment. The Lord Jesus said, that's all wrong. Whom do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Savior said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Now, we have in John chapter 9, and I hope this puts us all to shame, that this blind man, being newly blessed of Christ, was being asked questions, and he did not even know the identity with exactness as to who it was that opened his eyes. But the enemies of Christ were determined that he would not confess that Jesus was the Messiah and he had opened his eyes. They threatened his parents to be put out of the synagogue if they confessed Jesus as Messiah. And now, this blind man, in his simplicity, is beginning to see through their efforts. Say, who are you? Who is the one that opened your eyes? He said, I am the man that was born blind, and the man named Jesus opened my eyes. That should be simple enough. But they said, tell us again, what do you say of this man? Why, I say he's a prophet. Again they asked him, tell us, how opened he thine eyes? And finally, the blind man becomes exasperated, and he says, I've told you over and over. Can you not understand? Do you want to become his disciple? And they said, you are his disciple. We are disciples of Moses. And this parvenu, recently introduced to Christ, in his simplicity, hears their arguments when they say, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. He said, why, herein is the marvel, that this man opened my eyes and you do not know who he is. We know that God heareth not sinners. Here is a man that opened mine eyes. If he were not from God, he could do nothing. And they become indignant and they say, would you teach us, you who were born altogether in sins? And then they cast him out. Why? Because Satan is determined to withhold from the Lord Jesus the confession of the truth as to who he actually is. And if men do make that confession, they are ostracized. They are put out of the synagogue. They're cast out from the society that was theirs before. Now, his father and mother were clever. I hope you want to remember this. So if you want to remain friendly with the world, keep your friends, be able to go into a prominent synagogue or a place of worship, then keep your mouth shut and say, I don't know. I've never come to a conclusion as to who this man is. I've heard many things about him. Yes, this is our son. I've heard things that we can't say for sure. Just take that aim, give that sort of testimony, and people will never do anything harmful to you. They will look at you and say, well, these people are insignificant, but they haven't said anything good about Jesus. Let's leave them alone. But if you've been blessed of the Lord, and you are determined, at whatever cost, to confess the truth of who he is, then it will cost you everything. And that's what this blind man was determined to do. He saw through their game, and finally he said, why, here is the marvel, that this man opened my eyes, and you cannot understand that he came from God. You see? So he is determined to give to the Lord Jesus the glory that is rightfully his, to confess who he actually is. And it cost him ostracism from his parents, from his synagogue, and from society. He's quite prepared to take that loss to confess who Jesus is. Are you? The consolation is this. Jesus heard that they had cast him out of the synagogue, and he went and found him. You may take the whole world if the Lord Jesus will come and give thee consolation. There's a song, take the world, but give me Jesus. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul and lose the friendship of the Lord Jesus? And this blind man was prepared to take that loss to stand for the truth as to who it was that opened his eyes. And you claim that you've been cleansed by the precious blood of Christ, that the Lord Jesus died for you on the cross. But when are you going to take that stand, whatever the cost is, as to the relationship with society? They cast him out. That is the opportunity for Jesus to come and personally teach him. He did not know up until now. He had been thinking about him, a man, a prophet, someone come from God, a miracle worker. But finally the Lord Jesus said, "Do you believe on the Son of God? Who is he, Lord? Thou hast both seen him, and he it is that speaketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. One of the most beautiful scenes in the entire Word of God. A man who was born blind, and now he sees. That's glorious. But a man who sees not only with his eyes, but in his soul, the Son who came from heaven and loved him. He sees in Jesus the Son of God, and he worships at his feet. There's nothing more glorious in the whole Bible. Here I am, a blinded sinner, and the Lord Jesus opens the eyes of my soul, and then he says, "I am the Son of God," and you acknowledge it and worship him. Are you prepared to do that? That is something that Satan hates, and he will withhold from the Lord Jesus the acknowledgement as to the truth of who he is, and it's going to cost you if you take that stand. Cost you, but think of all that the parents retain by rejecting the Savior, and think of all that the blind son now seeing gain by rejecting mankind. So Satan says, "Do what I tell you or else." In the coming day, you will see his tactics. I need not tell you about 666, the mark of the beast. Those are his tactics. You follow me, or this shall be the outcome. All right. Now, in John 12, understand this. The Lord Jesus has the Father's decree that men are going to acknowledge him as to who he is. Satan says, "I'm going to withhold that." And the Father also is determined that his Son shall be honored with material gifts worthy of his person. Understand that. You say, "Well, I confessed who Jesus is. What material thing have you given him that is worthy of his name?" The Lord Jesus has a supper made in his honor. And while they're sitting at table with Lazarus, Martha is serving, the other guests are around the table, Mary comes with an alabaster box of ointment, very costly, very precious, and she breaks it, and she anoints our Savior's feet and wipes them with the hairs of her head. Now, you say, "So beautiful. This is what Jesus should receive." Immediately, Satan sticks up his ugly head. And he says, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" I told you. Satan's attempt to withhold from Jesus that which is rightfully his. Who do you think it is that's motivating that heart of Judas Iscariot? You have to read all the Gospels to find the full truth. You realize that Satan introduced his venom to the disciples through Judas. Judas was the one who said it at first, and then the other disciples said, "Why, yes, all this waste of money. Why, this ointment could have been sold for," Judas knew exactly how much, he said, 300 pence, and it could have been given to the poor. So here are some who want to honor the Lord Jesus with their substance. And Satan would do all in his power
to withhold the material things that we would give to the Lord Jesus. Now, what kind of Christian are you? I've seen some Christians of whom I am ashamed. I've taken some in years past, places with me, and they would give absolutely nothing to the Lord. I've heard others say to me, I'm not going to give anything to the Lord. Let people that have got money give money to the Lord. I've been so ashamed when I heard people talk that way. But this is what happened. And so finally, here is one who looks at the Lord Jesus and thinks of the value of this ointment that she's anointing the Lord Jesus with. And she says, the Lord Jesus is worth far more than this. It's something that is worthy of the Savior that is hers. And she lavishes it all upon the Savior. Now perhaps you and I would take a little bit and give it to him, you see. So that is the heart of some. Like Simon. Simon the Pharisee in Luke 7. He would give Jesus a little something. Here is a woman in John 12 that would give the Lord Jesus that which is worthy of his name. And as soon as this is attempted, Satan, in the person of Judas, says, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? You see, any time that which is rightfully Christ's is offered to him, Satan will do all in his power to prevent that from being given to him. Let me give you the example again in Acts chapter 5. For the generous sold in the early church, and Barnabas sold a field, and all the money that was received for that field, he came and laid it at the apostles' feet for the disposal for the work of God. A lovely, generous thought. Ananias and Sapphira have covetous hearts, but at the same time, they want the same kind of praise from the church that Barnabas received. And so this is their plan. What we'll do is to sell a plot of land, and we'll pretend that we give everything the way Barnabas did, but we'll keep back part of it. And then they'll think that we are just as good and generous and holy and consecrated as Barnabas is, but we'll still have the money that we sold a lot for. We'll give part to the Lord and pretend that we've given all. Tell me, are you that kind of Christian? If you say, I'm only going to give you this much, God will accept it, and you will be honored. But if you pretend to be something, when you are nothing, that is hypocrisy. You say, well, how do you know that this is of Satan? How do I know? Because Peter said, Satan hath filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit. So here is someone that wants to give something to the work of the Lord. And Satan is determined that part of it shall be held back. Here is a woman that wants to give to Christ personally something material. And Satan wants it to be held back. Let me tell you this, because this is such a marvel. At times, some of the Jews had poor fathers and mothers, and they wanted to give something to their fathers and mothers. But the priest said, you don't have to do that. Why don't you want to give it to God? All you have to do is this. Just say, Father, Mother, the things that were going to be given to you to benefit you, we've given them to God. And the priest said, we will absolve you. You do not have to give anything to your father and mother. God said, I want it given to your father and mother. You say, but they gave it to God. They did not give it to God. They put it in the church funds, but they financed the very priests that put the Son of God to death on the cross. And so it was Satan again, withholding from those that the Father wanted to be supplied. Your poor father and mother, they're to be supplied for. No, give it to the church. But when you gave it to the church, you did not give it to God. You gave it to Satan. And that's what's happening in the world today. Large funds given to the church, whereas in reality, if they saw some honorable ones, such as a poor father, a poor mother, Those would be the ones to whom the Son should give. But I told you, Satan is there. He is determined that Christ shall not be given the material things that are rightfully his. And so some say, well, I will confess his name. Well, praise God for that. Are you one that will give to the Lord Jesus the material things that are worthy of his name? Or will the Lord Jesus look at you as he looked at those that were casting gifts into the treasury, and he saw a poor widow that cast in two mites, and he said, she's cast in more than they all. Think on that. In Luke 19, this is what we have. The Lord Jesus, in fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy about the Messiah coming, riding into Jerusalem, is being fulfilled. And as he rides into Jerusalem, something spontaneously happens to the hearts of those that are beholding him in his entry as he rides in fulfillment to the prophecy of Zechariah. They go and they get branches from trees, and it's such a beautiful scene. Some of them have taken their garments and laid them on the beast of burden that the Lord Jesus may sit upon those garments. Others have taken palm branches and branches from trees, and they would put them in the path of the Lord Jesus as the animal would come along, not the dusty road, but there would be a carpet of branches of trees. They would lay them down because this is the Messiah. And finally, as he nears Jerusalem, the multitude burst forth, Hosanna in the highest, glory to God. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the Son of David. You say, well, how is Satan going to withhold these shouts through his instruments again? That is what I'm telling you. Through the rulers of the synagogue, he will put out those that confess him to be the Christ. Through those like Judas Iscariot, he will discourage from giving anything material to the Lord. And now, when the multitudes are praising the Lord Jesus, giving him praises that are rightfully his, then Satan, through the lips of his enemies, say to Jesus, do you not hear what this multitude is saying? Tell them to be quiet. And the Lord Jesus says, I say unto you that if these shall hold their peace, if they shall keep quiet, the stones shall cry out. Satan is trying to withhold every utterance of praise being expressed concerning the glories of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus says, you are not going to succeed. There are some things that the Father has determined that his Son shall receive, and that is his preeminence. Here is what men fail to understand, that the Lord Jesus was obedient unto death, the death of the cross. And God has highly exalted him, and he has determined that every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And the Lord Jesus knows that. And here is this jealous Satan saying, tell them to keep quiet. Tell them not to praise you, to confess you as king. Silence your disciples. And the Lord Jesus said, if I did silence them, the very stones would cry out. So understand that ultimately, the Lord Jesus is going to be praised. Every tongue, whether willingly or not, will confess that he is the Christ. And every tongue shall ultimately confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And so you have the activity of Satan trying to overthrow the purposes of God. But you will find that eventually the purposes of God shall prevail. Confessing Lord and sovereign even now. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful that you have shown us in the Scriptures what Satan is trying to do. We would think it's so important. Who cares whether we confess that Jesus is the Christ? Who cares whether we give him anything of our substance? And who cares if we confess him and praise him as blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord? But our Father, we understand that you care, and Satan hates it, and he would withhold from Christ every right that is his. But Father, you're going to overturn it in the coming day. and you shall bestow upon him and give to him whose right it is all of those things that we see Satan trying to withhold during the history of the church. So help us, Father, to give in his rightful place his glory, our substance, and let us honor the Son even as we honor the Father. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.